You're listening to Catholic Espresso. Whether you have an espresso in hand or not, this is a podcast that will help you in your journey of faith. And now here are your hosts, Father Pavel and Russell.
Welcome, listeners. This is Russell Hoyt from Texas, and I'm joined by our fantastic pastor and priest of God,
Father Pavel Zborowski from Toronto.
It's like you're whispering that. It's a secret.
Yes. I should put the microphone closer.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully you heard our preview episode last week. That came out last week. That is highlighting a day of reflection at St. Mary's in Richmond Hill. Father Pavel, you want to say a little bit about that, please?
Absolutely. Actually, you can listen to it. You can check it at our website, where there is a poster of a fantastic couple who is coming to join us for the annual day of recollection, Advent recollection, December 9. It's a big mystery, actually, who is coming. I cannot reveal the name. No, of course. Russell and his beloved wife, Sarah, are coming. They're going to be speakers here at Richmond Hill at St. Mary Immaculate. So technically, it's a little different podcast because we want to invite people to come and join us for the Day of Recollection.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, we're so excited. I wanted to start talking about packing, because while it is cold in Texas, if I were to bring you here, Father, you would be hot. You'd be sweating.
I bet. Actually, we had the first snow this week.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Do you enjoy that?
So much. I love it, especially when I go for walks. It's so beautiful, refreshing. And you go for 30 minutes out of the building and you come back like a newborn, so refreshed. Yesterday was very, very cold. Today it's very nice. Beautiful blue sky, sunshine, no wind. So perfect weather. You're going to enjoy it. You need a change from the hot weather of Texas.
It's true. We want to get into that Advent season, right, as we prepare for the Holy Family. And so Sarah and I are traveling abroad, taking the star of the show is going to be our daughter, our youngest child and daughter, Chaley, who's coming with us to Toronto. This is her first. She has a passport now, and all of the kids are so jealous. Because she's the first kid with a passport.
Wow,
so.
She's gonna have the first international trip ever in her life.
That's
to
right.
Toronto.
That's
to St. Right. Mary Immaculate. Amazing, amazing. You know, whenever Thanksgiving happens in the US, that's a great wake-up call that Advent is just around the corner. So did you have a good Thanksgiving, Russ?
I did. Thanksgiving for us has become one of our favorite holidays. Now, before I keep going, you tell me, do people celebrate Thanksgiving?
Absolutely. But in Canada, it's in October because of the climate. And
of course,
it's not as festive as in the U.S. U.S., I think, is the number one holiday in the entire country, because it brings people of different faith, people of different tradition, different religion together.
Yeah,
and
that's very true.
It's much different, but yeah, we celebrate. It's Monday in the middle of October.
Okay, so for the Hoyts, I don't know when Sarah and I decided this, but 5-6 years ago, probably 5 years ago. I realized, man, I love Thanksgiving because there's so little pressure. Sometimes I think that between Advent and the Christmas season, there's so much going on that it compacts everything. There's a lot of pressure. There's gifts. There's getting things right. It's like you're hurrying up to rest, which is never a fun thing. But Thanksgiving for us is just such an easy, we're able to slide right into it. We had 20 people at our last Thanksgiving gathering. It was pretty wild.
Was it at your house, guys?
That was at my in-laws. This is a very Texas thing. At ranch, it was at their hobby farm, which is what the hipsters call it. And it was my wife and her sisters and husbands and children,
20 people,
a roommate, and a brother-in-law and a brother-in-law's girlfriend. It was crazy. It was wild.
Well, that's what it should be all about. And it reminded us that we have to be a people of thanksgiving, people who are grateful and people who appreciate all the blessings that we receive from the Lord. But from my life in the U.S., I always remember the time of Thanksgiving was a time of, hey, Advent is just around the corner. Christmas is just around the corner. It was like the last minute call of we are going into the holy sacred season of Advent, and there we are.
Amen. Well, even before we get there, I was thinking we could take a stop off. We're in this kind of funny place in the liturgical year, right? Because we just celebrated the end of a liturgical year, and the new one has not yet quite begun, right? So this past Sunday, we celebrated one of my favorite solemnities, which is Christ, King of the
Universe.
I love Christ, King of the Universe, for this reason. Because to kids, to children, and it's something, folks, that you can share with your friends, share if you have children or grandchildren. It's something that's so cool, because when we talk about Jesus, Jesus Christ, as being the king of the world, or being a king, he's not just a king of this planet. He's a king of all the planets. We're not short-sighted. We want everybody to have salvation. And there's just something so amazing about Christ being the king of the whole, being the king of the whole universe, and having power, and then simultaneously, how amazing is it that Christ, who is king of the universe, the entire universe, that he has you in mind.
Yeah.
Wow.
Great reminder that we are citizens of heaven and of his kingdom. And the feast of Christ the King is not that old.
Really? Tell me more.
No, it was introduced by Pope Pius XI in 1925. And, the Pope saw what was going on in the world. We have Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, and the Pope was very worried about people who will follow the wrong leaders. And he recognized again Christ as a king, as a king of the universe, of every person. And that's why he introduced that feast into the world. Even though we know that we celebrated his kingdom and him as a king for many centuries, but in 1925, the Pope officially introduced Pope Pius XI officially introduced that feast.
Wow, that's awesome! Yeah. So now we've had Christ King of the Universe, which ends the previous liturgical year. So I've had. Did you have anyone celebrate a liturgical New Year's Eve, Father Pavel?
Not really. We just switched the Sunday missiles for people because we are going through the cycle B now, from the year A, and yeah.
So there are in the United States there are a number of like Catholic families that will celebrate a liturgical New Year's Eve. And I always thought that was a really neat idea. My family, we celebrate on the New Year's Eve like everybody else. But on New Year's Eve, we'll draw a saint of the day, someone to walk with, you know, to have a saint for the whole year, a patron. And then also we'll pull a word, like a spiritual word. So a few years ago, mine was farewell, And I hate to admit that I don't know what, I can't remember what mine is this year. Hopefully, well, I'll have to look it up. But that's usually a great...
Refresh your memory before the next episode, okay?
Okay, deal. So, but... for us as a family, that's been a really cool opportunity. So, folks, as you go into your new liturgical year, or maybe you go into the new year, just an encouragement to, there's a comedian, a Catholic comedian here in the United States. Her name is Jennifer Fulweiler. And she made this kind of random saint generator and random word generator. So shout out to Jen Fulweiler. Check her out, and we'll put the links to that in the show notes. And if you feel so called, get yourself a give a saint in heaven a chance to choose you for a year, because you're not picking that saint. That saint is picking you. So give them a chance to minister to you this year by picking a saint. And also, if you feel so called, pick a word, because those words are really, they've been really powerful for my family.
Yeah. And there we are. We are just before first Sunday of Advent, Russell. So
let's talk about, Father, let's talk about Advent and the Christmas tide. What will people be seeing in your parish? What are some of the small changes that are going on as you guys prepare for Advent or get into the Advent season?
Well, of course, it's a different liturgical year, a different liturgical season than ordinary time. As a priest, I'm gonna wear the purple chasuble, except the third Sunday of Advent that we call Gaudete Sunday, and I'm gonna be wearing rose color chasuble. People gonna see the Advent wreath next to the altar, and we start with the prayer, and the family of the parish comes to the wreath to light the candle for the first Sunday, the first candle, second Sunday, second candle, and we start with the prayer. One of the things we have here at St. Mary Immaculate, the kids write the love letters to Jesus.
Oh, man.
To baby Jesus, and the priest collects the letters, and we publish the most interesting letters in the parish bulletin, and they are so much fun to read, and I read them usually on Wednesday morning around 5 o'clock, after 5 o'clock in the morning, and tell you, makes my day. Also during the time of Advent, we will have extra time for confession, day of confession in our parish, with different time of when people come for the sacrament of reconciliation, and more priests helping us with confessions. Day of Recollection, as you remember from our introduction, very special this year, because you're gonna be a main speaker, which will be on preparing the way, the hearts, minds for Christmas by building the domestic church, the church in the families, and what else? Technically, that's mainly what's going to happen. Of course, the liturgy is different. There is no Gloria on Sunday, right? We have penitential rite and opening prayer. And the liturgy is more serious. The church, the altar shouldn't be decorated much during the season of Advent. And probably that's it. That's what's going to happen. And there is lots of activities. Like I know that St. Vincent de Paul was preparing. We had a truck already here collecting the clothes for those who are in need. I know the Knights of Columbus are doing some activities helping those in need. St. Vincent de Paul is organizing the lunch during the Advent, one of the Saturdays, for people who are in need. So many, many great things will happen during this time of the year. What about you, Russell? How's your family gonna celebrate Advent?
Well, Advent for us, we have a couple of things that kind of move through the house during Advent. We put up there's a lot of decoration that goes on, but it's kind of in stages. Sarah likes to, she likes to at least start decorating officially at the start of Advent. We've tried to like hold off before, like not doing everything until actual Christmas, and we have failed miserably because everybody loves to do it. So much so, this is a great story. We just got our Christmas tree, and we just got our Christmas tree, and I put it up. And my son John, he's our middle child. He's the only boy that we have with us, and he loves to decorate for Christmas. So he goes to his mom. We got it the Saturday after Thanksgiving. We put it up. He goes to his mom. Mom, listen, we need to decorate the tree tonight. But for a particular reason, we couldn't. And she said, actually, I want to wait until this first Sunday of Advent for us to start preparing. So he was pretty disappointed. So he had this whole conversation. I didn't know about it. Later, he says, hey, Dad, can you get the boxes down from the garage? Can you just, you know, just set them down? That way we can be ready. Sure, buddy. That's not a problem. So I set them all out. He, so if, like a 2 days later, I start to notice like one or two little decorations just appear out of nowhere. And for the next like week, he would go into the garage and pick out like one decoration and he would put it out in the house and not tell anybody. So he's been like decorating for Christmas like a ninja. Quietly, silently, deadly, because he loves it so much. He's been sneaking decorations into the house.
That's so funny. But there is something special, of course, about the decoration, and I always wait to the last moment, but it's very difficult and hard to do it, especially in our culture. You know, I go to the stores and you can hear already jingle bells and all decoration, Christmas decoration, and it's all about Christmas. And unfortunately, everything started at the end of October already.
Yep.
But as Catholics, we shouldn't miss this time of the year, time of preparation, time of waiting. And we have figures who are helping us to prepare ourselves for coming of the Lord. Do you know, Russell, who is very special, highlighted in our liturgy during time of Advent?
Are we talking about the Magi?
No.
No?
Oh,
man.
Who is the guy in the desert?
Oh,
prepare the way.
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist, absolutely. John the Baptist is calling us, prepare the way. Make sure to prepare your heart and mind and your family for coming of the Messiah. There is also a prophet that we have lots of readings during this time of the year.
So we hear a lot from Isaiah.
Absolutely, lots. From Isaiah. We have also, Pope Benedict said that Mother Mary is an icon of Advent. She's an icon of Advent. And we have special feasts during the month of December.
Yep. Oh, and not just a special feast, your special feast at St. Mary's in Richmond, right?
Absolutely.
The Immaculate Conception.
Immaculate Conception. Also, we have Guadalupana.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Yes, we celebrate Our Lady of Guadalupe, and exactly. So Mother Mary walks with us during this Advent season and helping us to prepare ourselves and our families, our lives for Christmas.
One of the things that my family, we've done a lot of different Advent things. One thing that we do every year is before we start with our prayer, before we bless our food for dinner, we'll sing the first verse of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Oh, and that's beautiful.
That's always such a great, it's really a special moment for us. Because it's hard, you know, just like you said, the world all around us is, they're really not celebrating Christmas. They're celebrating consumerism. Right there, that's really, they're trying to get you into the spirit so that you'll buy their stuff in many ways. But there's something beautiful about the idea of preparation and patient waiting. And I heard recently that Lent, so the word that we would use to describe Lent is a penitential season. And a word to describe Advent is a preparational season. We're preparing. Almost like we're waiting, but we're not just sitting around, right? It's a joyful anticipation of something to come. So
yeah, it's a yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry about it. Exactly, it's a time of preparation before Christmas, but also preparation before our Lord will come eventually in the future. We are awaiting his second coming.
Yeah. So it reminds us, right? So there's a first point for you, listener, to think, not only am I waiting for the Lord to be born, but I'm also waiting for his second coming. And there's something so important about this idea about being prepared for the Lord to come, and also just that you know, that we have a moment, we'll have a moment with the Lord at the end of our lives, right? But the beauty of meditating on that, it's not sad. There's joy. Why? Because the promise is born, right? It's Jesus who's born, that when I meditate on my death, when I prepare for my entrance into his kingdom, I'm preparing with the promise of this good news that Jesus is born.
Yeah, so that's why the liturgy of Sundays during this month of December are divided. The first two are about we are looking forward to Christ's second coming, and the last two Sundays of Advent, we look backward to remember Christ's first coming, when he came first into the world. So that's the whole liturgies are directed towards the fact that the Lord came in the past, and we are waiting for him again in the future to come.
It's beautiful. So, you know, if we think about Advent as preparation, we've already talked a little bit about preparing our homes, preparing kind of, you know, we put up lights, we might do a couple of things depending on who you are and how you celebrate. And I want you to think, this is a little tag, a little teaser to the Advent Day of Reflection Sarah and I have been talking about. If our family is a domestic church, then our home is a temple, right? It's a place where we live in communion like God lives. And how you decorate your temple, the way that you dedicate your physical space to God, is really important. So I want to give everybody an opportunity. Who doesn't love permission to spend a little money? Guys, if you want to get a new crucifix or a beautiful picture of Our Lady or the Holy Family, think of that as a way to prepare for Advent, something to hang up, to look with anticipation, something beautiful. But we're talking about preparation, preparing our home. Father, how else can we prepare our hearts during the season of Advent? What does that even mean? What if I said, Father Pavel, give me an idea of why am I preparing my heart? What am I preparing for?
Yeah, very, very good question. And I can see that from my life as a priest, that time of Christmas is a time of many difficulties and hardships for people, because they got together after so many different situations that they faced during the year as a family. And many times people tell me, Father, Christmas is so stressful, it's so difficult. We cannot stand each other at the Christmas table. We don't like it. And that's why maybe this time of the year is also a time to prepare our hearts, our families, our homes for the celebration of Christmas. Maybe there was something last year or maybe in the past that happened in your lives, in my life, that maybe destroyed the relationship with God and also with one another. And there is so many stories when people are reconciled at the table during Christmas, when people are reconciled on Christmas Eve, and maybe reconciled not only with one another, but especially with God. So maybe this time of the year should be a time of reconciliation, waiting for the fullness for the coming of our Lord in his love, in his compassion, as an innocent baby. And I think this time of the year should be a time of renewal, and we should look forward to the day when Christmas will happen, not in worries and stress, and be worried about the gifts, and be worried about what kind of food we'll have, but you know what, about being with one another, about inviting Jesus into our lives again, about inviting Jesus again into our homes and into our families. And I think we all should look forward when we are celebrating Christmas to have his presence in the middle of our lives, but also be reconciled with one another.
Mm, that's beautiful. I want you to go back. I want to go back for just a moment. I think it's an awesome thing to think about Advent as a time of reconciliation, because Jesus is born into the world to reconcile the world to God. And so I think it's a great theme, pondering, where do I need to be reconciled to God? Where do I need to be reconciled to another? And I had an experience with you, Father. You had introduced us to a Polish tradition of kind of reconciliation. Would you share a little bit about that?
Opłatek, right?
Yeah.
The white wafer. Yeah, that's a Polish tradition that before we start the meal on Christmas Eve, the family share with each other. Actually, we do that whole Christmas season. We share with each other the white wafer, opłatek, and we wish each other the most beautiful wishes. And if there is a need, we ask for forgiveness. And it's a very emotional time in the life of the family. And it's a beautiful tradition, and later on when we are sitting at the table, there is a peace, there is a hope, there is a joy, there is a faith that the Lord is born not only at the Eucharist when we celebrate Holy Mass, but he's also born in our hearts at the table because we are in peace, because we are in the atmosphere of love.
That's beautiful. So maybe something that when we talk about preparing our hearts, you know, at forgiveness, receiving forgiveness and giving forgiveness is such an important part of, I think, the human heart, and a beautiful way to prepare. So maybe we could all, during this Advent season, you could probably hear my screeching Chaley in the background. She's really into
They're excited about Christmas.
She's very excited. there might need some reconciliation going on. listener, ask yourself the question, where do I need to be reconciled with God? Where in my life do I need to be reconciled with God? Only you know that. And even though it's not Lent, it's still, because we're celebrating the world's reconciliation to the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing wrong with stopping, just like we do at every Mass, and we acknowledge that we're sinners and that we need mercy. And mercy will be born into the world. We will receive it. It's a guarantee. Where do we need God's mercy in our lives? And where do I need to offer mercy? Where do I need to forgive or maybe ask for forgiveness? And if you're not able to do that, I've had a lot of difficult situations in my life where either I've struggled to forgive someone, or I've struggled to ask, or maybe I couldn't even ask. And maybe you're in a situation where you can't even ask for that person's forgiveness. Even asking God for the grace. God, I want to be reconciled with this person. or even though I can't forgive or can't be forgiven, God, I ask that you would somehow make right this thing. Maybe that would be a good place for us to, when we talk about preparing our hearts, a good way to prepare our hearts in reconciliation.
Also, we're going to light the four candles on the Advent wreath, and they represent something very special in the life of every Christian, every Catholic. Hope, faith, joy, and peace. Hope, faith, joy, and peace. So maybe every Sunday when you're going to go to the church and see the Advent wreath and another candle to be lit, think about, how is my hope? How is my faith? What is my joy? How can I find peace this year, this Christmas? So remember, the four candles represents hope, faith, joy, and peace. And maybe that's what we should also consider to be sure that we have it in our lives this Advent and time of Christmas.
Yeah, Wow, I'm reflecting on hope, faith, joy, and peace. And you know, there's a common in the US, you'll commonly hear people talk about a blue Christmas. And just exactly what you were saying, that a lot of people have a difficult time in Christmas. In my own life, my father was killed tragically in a car accident at the beginning of December. And for me, I found that December tends to be a really complex month for me emotionally. And so I just also, I want to offer it to people who are listening. You know, I think there's a place for us to be aware of what we're, you know, what am I experiencing during this time? How can I bring that to the Lord? How can that be a gift to Jesus? How can that, and what is he doing to prepare my heart with that? And then also being mindful of the other, mindful of the people around us who we don't even know those stories. You know, we don't even know the stories, the stuff that's going on. And how can I bring joy? How can I bring peace? How can I bring faith? How can I bring hope to someone who might be suffering, even silently, that we don't see?
Yeah, it is also a great time to consider the life of others, what they are going through, and maybe there are people who are lonely, people who are away from the families, people who do not have any contact with the family members, and because of different situation in lives, right? And maybe this is the time to approach these people, to get them closer to us and help them to celebrate Christmas. One of the things in Polish tradition is that on Christmas Eve, when we have a meal, there is empty seat at the table, empty set prepared for someone who will just come from the street. And on that day, we should welcome everybody into our house. So maybe there is someone who is looking for some assistance, guidance, help. Look around you this time of the year and see. You know, it's amazing as a parish priest when I get a calls from people, Father, is it anyone in the parish who we can help with the meal this Christmas, or with gifts for the children, or with any kind of assistance, financial. And we don't want to even mention our names to them. We're just going to give it. Unbelievable, beautiful, beautiful testimonies.
Yeah.
So many great Catholics, great people. And we are going into Christmas, and this year Christmas Eve is on Sunday.
Yeah.
So morning time, we have the Sunday Masses from fourth Sunday of Advent.
Yeah.
And after 4 p.m., we can start celebrating Christmas Eve Masses.
Yep.
On Sunday, December 24, which is Sunday again. And Monday, December 25th, is a regular Sunday schedule. So we're going to be very, very busy in our parishes all over the world.
Yeah, it's a pretty wild... whenever this lands on the calendar, we always things are crazy because so what we're saying here, folks, is that we have our Sunday obligation, which is an opportunity to celebrate the fourth Sunday of Advent, and then you have the opportunity to celebrate Christmas. So really, again, framing this as a gift, really a gift from God, to spend a lot of really intentional time with Jesus in a special way, in a Eucharistic way. If you have little kids, sometimes my kids will often say, "Dad, didn't we just go to church? didn't we just go to Mass? Why do we have to go again?" I'm like, guys, we get to go again. And it's the gift of Jesus who gives himself to us, and how beautiful that is.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have a question. Because Advent is sometimes, in the early church, it was called a little Lent. Do you adopt any practices? Like, is there something that you do in particular for Advent? For instance, maybe you read a special book during Advent. You might pray a little more, or you might read a special book, or maybe you fast from something. Do you do anything like that?
Yeah, even though, as I mentioned, Advent is very different than Lent.
Yeah.
But for example, during Advent, I use the hard copy of the Liturgy of the Hours. Right. I put my iPad on site. I just say, no, I want to fast from electronics. So I'm using the hard copy of the Liturgy of the Hours. And of course, more prayer, adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, which we have here in our parish every Friday from 8:30 to 9:30. So that's the things that good reading is very important. Oh, we are selling in our parish the Blue Book. Are you familiar with the Blue Book? Yeah, so very popular. That's every awesome. Year we sell a Blue Book, which is the 3-4 minutes meditation every day of Advent, preparing ourselves for Christmas. Very nice material. People really enjoy it. Yeah. And when I was a kid, I remember Rorata masses in the morning. It was in about, 7 o'clock in the morning, or 6:30 in the morning. The kids from my town came. It was very cold, very snowy sometimes, but we came to the church to celebrate mass. We surrounded the candle, Rorata candle, which symbolized Mother Mary. And that was our preparation before Christmas. So maybe... listeners, this is a great time to come for daily mass, or make sure parish is printed for you the Advent schedule, Christmas schedule, and there is a time for confessions, and you will see how many priests, at least in our parish, what time. Come for confession. That's the most wonderful time, thing to prepare our hearts and our minds before Christmas.
Yeah. Just want to encourage everybody, the way that our experience of Christmas this year and our experience of big liturgical events often is affected. It's not just the day of, it's how did you prepare? How did you prepare for Christmas? What have you done or allowed the Lord to do in preparation for Christmas? Just want to encourage you to adopt maybe another spiritual practice, and we just something that will take this Advent season maybe to the next level for you. So now, folks, we're going to have our Catholic news. So we're going to throw it over to Christina. And Christina, what's going on in the world to us?
Well, Welcome, everyone, to this month's edition of News of the Church. Things have changed a lot for me since I started praying the rosary. Those are the exact words of Tammy Peterson, advocate, podcaster, and wife of world-renowned psychologist Jordan Peterson. Tammy battled and survived a rare kidney cancer that was 100% fatal. While in the hospital, her friend gifted her a rosary blessed by the Pope, which changed her perspective on life. Her rosary testimony is explained in a YouTube video by True Faith TV that has received over 2 million views within 2 weeks. The rosary wasn't the only aspect of Catholicism that helped lead her to the faith. She also has a devotion to St. Jose Maria Escriva. Just 5 days into praying his novena for the sick, a hole in her lymph system that she was receiving treatment for healed itself. And in new discoveries, Michelangelo's secret room is now open to the public in Florence, and it was discovered by chance. It was a room that had been used to store coal until 1955 and remained sealed and forgotten for decades. And while cleaning, they discovered sketches that were under two layers of plaster. After studying the works, the director concluded that the room had been Michelangelo's refuge in 1530, around 15 years after finishing his work on the Sistine Chapel. Michelangelo used the room to hide from Pope Clement VII, who was angry with the artist because of his support of the new Republican government. Pope Francis' prayer for the month of December is for people with disabilities. People with disabilities are among the most fragile among us, Pope Francis said in a video released November 28th. Some of them suffer rejection rooted in either ignorance or prejudice, which then marginalizes them, he added. The Holy Father urged civil institutions to support their projects through access to education, employment, and places where they can express their creativity. And that's this month's news. I'm Christina Doyle. Now back to Father Powell and our co-host, Russell.
Okay, thanks, Christina, for that Catholic world news. Father Powell, it's looking like it's time to go. We missed something at the beginning, though. Do you have your espresso?
Today, I have to confess, I got up late this morning and I needed extra shots of espresso in the morning, so I cannot have now.
Yeah.
But believe me, I had enough this morning.
Okay, fair enough. I had a mug. I had a mug to bring in with me, and it's upstairs, and I left it. So.
You see, we have enough energy today, so enough for us is just to produce Catholic Espresso and help our people to listen to Catholic Espresso.
Absolutely.
And listeners, just want to let you know that when we meet with Russ, it's going to be a great opportunity to do maybe some talks and record something.
Yeah,
we'll share with you about his time here in Toronto.
Oh man, what if we did a live show?
Maybe.
My wife Sarah might say, no, we're gonna go have dinner, thanks.
we'll see.
Hey, listen, folks, we just want to encourage you, if you're listening and you're somewhere in Canada or New York, I don't know, that'd be pretty easy. Maybe you could drive up, come to the Day of Reflection, the Advent Day of Reflection at St. Mary's. Or if you want to fly from Texas and see the beautiful snowy white Toronto, I'm sure, Toronto would love to have you.
Which we cannot promise you because we're not sure if we're going to have snow or not.
No, if I'm coming,
for more details. Yeah, I know. I know you want to enjoy snow. I will be praying for a nice snow for you,
Thank you, Russell
and Sarah. And you know what? If you want to know more details about Advent Day of Recollection, check our website, smirh.com, St. Mary Immaculate Richmond Hill.com. There is a poster. You have all info about this amazing, amazing event that it's going to happen here at St. Mary, December 9, starting with Holy Mass at 8:30.
Awesome. That's going to be a blast. All right. Well, thank you, folks. We pray that you have an awesome Advent. And thank you, Father Pavel, for being with us. And we look forward to seeing you soon.
Safe travel to Toronto. Looking forward to have you. And We are so great to be with you wherever you are. I know. May I greet my aunt in Australia?
Yeah, go for it.
Ciao, Marisha. Thank you for listening to Catholic Espresso in beautiful Australia. And I know you have a summertime right now there in Perth. So would you like to say hello to someone?
Wow. Oh, geez. I'm going to say hello to your aunt as well. Thank you for thanks for listening. One of my favorite Catholic podcasters is from Australia, and he's moving to the U.S. for 3 months. So anyways.
Maybe you can mention. What is it?
His name's James Donald Forbes McCann, and he's a comedian, but he's pretty wild. He's a pretty wild
maybe
guy.
We should invite him for then.
Oh my gosh.
One of the episodes.
Yep, we could. I don't know. All right, guys.
Have a fantastic Advent. Prepare the way. The Lord is waiting.
Amen.
For you to invite Him into your hearts, into your lives, into your families, and have a fabulous, fabulous Christmas, right, Russell? Merry Christmas. And we'll be together the last Sunday of the month.
Yep. All right, folks, happy Advent.
Happy Advent. God bless you. Great to be with you.